Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We like winning here, so it's obviously a pure emotion coming out. The guys came out early, swung them, and the guys in the bullpen held it up for Charlie.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's Braves closer Will Smith. He got the save last night as the Braves picked up the win over the Marlins 5-3. It's time for us to get into our headlines here. Chris Goforth with you. Final hour for me here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves winners. Charlie Morton gets the win. 5 1/3 innings for Charlie Morton last night. 7 hits, 3 runs. He only walked 1, and he struck out 5. I thought he looked a little more like last year's version of Charlie Morton in this. This is what now, 2-3 quality starts in a row for him. The bullpen did their job last night. Will Smith got the save. We've heard from him. Braves got after it early. Scored all 5 runs in the first 3 innings, including 3 in the first. Ronald Acuna looked good, looked healthy. 2 for 4, stole a base. That was good to see. Scored a run. Marcell Ozuna homered. That is 3 straight games for him now to go deep. Travis d'Arnaud, Dansby Swanson also went deep. Hope you got a chance to hear the interview we did with Peter Moylan, the former Brave, now analyst with Bally Sports. Peter was on with us last hour, about 40 minutes or so ago, and we talked to him about this stretch right now. Starting last night, it's 29 games against teams that have records below 500. 29 games against teams with losing records. This is the point in time when the Braves have to take advantage of that. We've wondered when this team would start to turn it around. I think now is the time to do it. And part of that success for this team to have, part of that achieving the playoffs in baseball, is being able to beat the bad teams. And through the early part of the season, call it the World Series hangover that Shocker called up and mentioned earlier, Peter Moylan agreed with that. Maybe there was a little bit of a World Series hangover after a long postseason run for those guys. Maybe there is something to that. But no more excuses now. Not with this stretch of 29 straight against bad teams. You got to beat the bad teams, and if you can do that, you can climb yourself out of this little bit of a hole the Braves have gotten themselves into. And frankly, if they would have beaten the bad teams early in the year, I don't think if they would have won the series against the Reds, if they would have taken 2 games, was it last week, against the Red Sox, if the Braves would have done those things, if they would have taken and won the series against the Marlins, won a series against the Rangers, I don't know that we would be viewing this team the same way we've talked about it or looked at it here over the last couple of weeks, where it's just been, you've kind of wondered what was going to happen. When was it going to change? When was the switch going to flip for this team? And that's something that we keep waiting on it to happen. PGA Championship happening in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Some wild weather yesterday with winds. They're expecting more of that today. Temps expected to be in the low 60s, also with a chance of rain in the forecast today. Tiger did make the cut yesterday. He did not have a good day so far. If we can get you updated, the leader in Will Zalatoris, he doesn't tee off until 2:50. Justin Thomas, Bubba Watson, they don't tee off until 2:40. Rory McIlroy doesn't tee off until 2:30, and that's a look at much the top five, if you will. But for Tiger, he is now 12 over for the tournament, and he is 9 today through 17. A rough day for Tiger. I think Garrett mentioned it earlier. He has not looked good. He has looked struggling. He has looked painful, and he has not looked good. Atlanta United, Nashville tonight. They'll take on Nashville FC, 7:30. You can hear it here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, pregame with Mike and Jason gets underway at 7 o'clock tonight. NBA Conference Finals going on. Golden State beat Dallas 1-117 last night. Golden State now leads the series 2-0. Luka had 42 last night for the Dallas Mavericks, including 18 that came in the first quarter of that game. But instead, it looked like they might run away with it last night. But then Golden State came back. It was an atrocious third quarter for the Mavs, and now it's a 2-0 lead for Golden State. And here is Luka Doncic. This is after the game when he was asked if this is the toughest situation that he's been faced with.
Is this the most substantial bit of adversity you guys have faced in these playoffs, and how do you bounce back now?
Can you normal English for me? I don't understand those two words.
Fair enough. Oh, okay. Is this the toughest situation you guys have faced in the playoffs, and how do you bounce back?
Man, it's the Warriors. You know, they have a great team, like I said. Championship team. So like I said, we got to adjust our defense. It's really hard to stop them. But it's a tough situation. You know, we were up 20 or 19, so it's a tough situation. But we can't look back. You know, what happened, so we got to move on.
Yeah, they had a 19-point lead at one point. As a matter of fact, Golden State never led in this game until there were 18 seconds left in the fourth quarter before they finally to overtake the lead. And then Steph Curry last night, he was fantastic in this game for State. He came up huge. He knocks down a three and says night-night to the Dallas Mavericks. He was asked about it after the game last night.
Do you think they heard you when you said night-night on that last three? Because you were right in front of Dallas's bench.
I was looking at the ball and then looking at the rim, so I was talking to myself. So I don't know who heard it, but it's a good way to finish the game, and we got to take that to game three.
Golden State is now the fifth franchise in NBA history with 200 playoff wins. The Lakers, the Celtics, the Sixers, the Spurs, and the Warriors all have 200 wins. Game three in this series, it's happening tomorrow night. You can watch it 9 o'clock Eastern on TNT. Game three between the Heat and the Celtics, that happens tonight, 8:30. You can watch that on ABC. This series is tied at one game apiece. Look, this was Boston took it to them in game two of this series. Jimmy Butler said that the Heat says they were embarrassed on their home floor.
They tried to embarrass us. They did embarrass us. So I think we got to realize that, use it as fuel, whatever you want to say, but realize that the game can get out of hand whenever you're playing against a really good team like them that can score the ball and get stops. Overall, we just have to be better. We got a tough job to do to go over there and win. But if they did it, we can do it as well.
Let's hear from, we'll hear from Marcus Smart coming up in just a minute. But one quick note on the Heat. Kyle Lowry, according to Eric Spoelstra, and this news broke just before 1 o'clock today, that Kyle Lowry will warm up with intentions to play tonight in Game 3 for the Heat against the Boston Celtics. He has not played since he re-injured his left hamstring in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference semis against the 76ers, and this is an injury that he suffered initially in Game 3 of the quarterfinals against the Hawks. So it's something that's been hanging around for Kyle Lowry. He will warm up. Hopefully he'll get a chance to play tonight. Marcus Smart was back on the floor for Boston in the last game. He made a huge difference for them, not just offensively, but I think defensively as well. Here's Smart on what his play and being on the court, what it means to the Boston Celtics.
It's a different type of energy and feel when, you know, when I'm out there on the court able to bark out the commands and really get into my guys and get them motivated. Because now it's like, okay, you know, if he's going to go out there and do it, I don't want to be the guy to slack, and so I got to come with it. And that's the beauty of having me on the court to do that, to settle us down, to get us what we need to do and make plays for my teammates.
So, again, you've got the conference finals going on again tonight and tomorrow night. NASCAR happening tomorrow from the Texas Motor Speedway. It is NASCAR's all-star race. They don't race for points, but they do race for a $1 million payday. That is happening tomorrow. Now, coming up a little later on today, around 2:40, we're going to go off the rails. We'll talk about some off-the-beaten-path kind of stuff, including a guy that has eaten a Big Mac every day for 50 years. We'll talk about John Daly's diet and the number of Diet Cokes that he drank, according to Tiger Woods, at the 2007 PGA Championship. We'll get to that coming up. Mark Ross, the analyst for the NFL Network, he was with us earlier today. If you missed that interview, we're going to bring that to you coming up here in just a minute. By the way, I encourage you to check us out on Twitter, at 929thegame. Is there a position that you think, a position group, you think the Atlanta Falcons should continue to add to over the course of the summer? We talked about this earlier today. I thought it was the defensive line. Garrett said the offensive line. Tomahawken chimed in earlier. He said there's no wrong answer to this because the Falcons need help everywhere. We Dat Atlanta Sports said offensive line. Jason Robertson said center. And Scott, being politically correct here, Scott says the offensive and defensive lines are what the Falcons need. We're asking for, looking for one position group because the Falcons are going to have, according to overthecap.com, they're estimated to have about $7 million left to spend in free agency. So I don't know that you can get a whole lot. I don't know that you're going to be able to get a whole lot if you're the Falcons, but you might be able to add another guy or two into this mix. I think it was Maurice that called up earlier and said running backs. We got to looking. Falcons only have five running backs on the roster, and one of those is Keith Smith, the fullback. I would think, if nothing else, they would want to bring in maybe one or two more running backs just to have some camp bodies and to get through that, you know, first, maybe second preseason game. So we'll see. We'll continue to talk about the National Football League, our conversation with Mark Ross, analyst for the NFL Network. We'll do that when we come back. Chris Goforth with you here on this Saturday. Glad to be hanging out with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth with you on this Saturday morning as we head out on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. We welcome in Mark Ross. Mark is an analyst on the NFL Network. You see him on NFL Now and all the other assorted shows across the network. You can find him on Twitter at Mark Ross. And Mark, I appreciate you giving us a little bit of time this morning. You put together a list. It's been about a week or so ago now on the NFL Network of the rookies that you said were in the best situation to succeed. How do you view Drake London and Desmond Ridder here with the Falcons?
Yeah, so after that list, it wasn't a list of who's the best, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, who's going to be a Pro Bowler. It was just, you know, when you draft a rookie, you just want everything to be as easy and seamless as possible. You know, guys I picked on there, I think will be good players as well, but they were just kind of in situations where they just got to have to go in there and play a role, and a lot of pressure is not really on them to perform. So with Drake London, I think he's going to be an excellent player. I love the talent, the strength, the hands, but a lot of it is contingent on the quarterback situation there and how that develops and who can get him the ball. You know, with Kyle Pitts there, he'll be the main focus, but then Drake London will come in there. So his transition isn't that as easy as some of the others just because it's who's playing quarterback. Is it Mariota or let's talk about Desmond Ridder? You know, if he's stepping in there, the transition for him, I think it is a good situation where he doesn't have to be forced to play because of you do have a veteran quarterback there. And just about all those quarterbacks that got drafted this year kind of were in those situations where they're veteran quarterbacks. So with Desmond Ridder, I like the skill set. I like the leadership. I like the talent. I like the winning pedigree. And I think he is in a good situation from the standpoint of, hey, I don't have to go in there and be the savior of the Falcons franchise. I can learn since we have a veteran there.
The 2023 draft next year is expected to be a really good draft for quarterbacks at this point. Do you feel like the teams that drafted quarterbacks this year, in particular the Falcons, is there a need to find out what you've got and what the ceiling may be for the guy you drafted this year before next year's draft?
Yeah, I think you always, when you draft a quarterback, you want to know what you have. And I really have always thought you do know. And at those teams that are kind of stringing it along after 2 or 3 years and saying, if we do this for our player, if we do that, if he develops, that you really don't know. If you look at the great quarterbacks in the league now, with a few exceptions, you kind of knew as soon as they got on the field, like, wow, this guy is going to be good. You know, talk about Joe Burrow, or, you know, just talking about the last couple of years, you just knew he was going to be good as soon as he played. Justin Herbert, when he got on the field, it's like, that guy's going to be a star. And the ones who are, you're still struggling, let's just talk about a Tua, where, well, if we do this for him and if that, and you're making excuses, that might not be the guy. So, I was part of that when we drafted Donovan McNabb back in Philly back in the day. And you just knew the end of practice, he's like, he's going to be good. And I think with Desmond Ridder, the way he, if we're talking specifically about him, that, or any of the other ones that in practices, if they get in games, you'll kind of know right away what you have. And obviously there's development to go along with that, but there should be that feeling of certainty instantly where, you know what, this guy is the guy, or we need to get better.
How important is it to get him some playing time this year as a rookie, whether that comes as a starter, whether that comes in mop-up duty? Is it important with a young quarterback to get him out there with some live bullets at some point in time early on?
No question. I always thought that was important, that they have to – players have to play, specifically quarterbacks. It's only so much that you can do or learn and get better experience and practice with the speed of the game and the knowledge and just being around better players. That game experience, there's nothing like that. And, you know, that notion of having someone just sit around and practice for a year or two, I don't think is the best way to develop. There's nothing like that game day experience. So, yes, I would think that they will do that with Desmond Ridder. He seems as if he is the type that was, one of his strong suits in the draft process was his intelligence and maturity. He played a lot of football there at Cincinnati. So I think getting him in the game, and hopefully if your guys say Marcus Mariota is the savior and he's great, but just his track record is he is not that guy. So I think it is will be opportunities to say, let's play Desmond Ridder, whether it be just in spot play during some games or eventually, hey, this guy's got to start some games and let's see if he can do it.
Mark Ross from the NFL Network. You can find him on Twitter at Mark Ross, and he's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mark, you came up through the ranks as a scout, director of scouting, vice president of player evaluations in the course of your career in the NFL. Give me your thoughts on the job that you see Terry Fontenot doing as a general manager now.
Well, I've known Terry for a long time, and I've always liked and respected him. And, you know, when he was with the Saints and just how he's coming up. And, yeah, I think this year it just kind of – he's got the – building it for the long haul. I think that he didn't try to just take instant swings, you know, huge swings and say, we got to solve this right away, especially, you know, the quarterback spot. He had a chance to do that last year. He had a chance to do it this year. So there's obviously that patience factor that he has and the ownership trust in him that – okay, let me take a few years to get all these pieces together and then strike when I can. So, you know, obviously there's tremendous pieces on offense that he has, talented playmakers that we mentioned with Kyle Pitts and Drake London. And if Desmond Ridder, if he can strike gold with that, that'll go a long way. Just specifically with this year's draft, I mean, I love the picks of Arnold Ebiketie and D'Angelo Malone. You guys watch out for D'Angelo Malone. He was one of my most underrated favorite players in the draft. So I think that energy there where you get the pass rushers, you get some playmakers on offense, and hopefully we hit on our quarterback here. So it could be promising for the Falcons.
Mark, give me your your take on the NFC South. I mean, obviously, Terry Fontenot's former team, the Saints, they've been very, very busy this offseason. The Bucs are bringing back Tom Brady. Your thoughts on the South and the way it's stacking up at this point?
Yeah, well, of course, Tom coming back changed the game. It changed the landscape, not just for the NFC South, but for the NFC and the NFL as a whole. I mean, that just in 1 second, they go from, all right, we might be struggling to, okay, we could be winning another Super Bowl. So with that, I think the Saints have done a tremendous job loading up with a lot of talent. And they're historically, the Saints are always in it. I mean, last year they go through four quarterbacks and they still have a chance to make the playoffs. So one of the finer organizations or teams that there is. And, you know, Carolina is that's doesn't seem to be a great situation down there. A lot of uncertainty, especially with the quarterback spot and just as an organization as a whole. So I think Atlanta, when you look at it, it's okay. Tampa, we know what they are just because of Brady. You know, the Saints are the Saints, but Atlanta just in that, it's okay. This seems to be the team on the rise. And in a year or two, we could be that team in this division.
Mark Ross from the NFL Network. He is also the Executive Vice President of Football Operations for the XFL, which will launch play next year. Mark, what is it about the XFL? Why is this going to be different? Why is this going to work where other leagues haven't?
Well, number one, it's our ownership. You know, with Dwayne Johnson and Danny Garcia and Redbird Capital led by Jerry Cardinale, their passion and their energy and their commitment to do things the right way and building it out the right way and invested their emotions, time and energy, and not just their finances into it. You know, it all starts from them and how they feel about it and are building it up. And then we've just got some, as you mentioned, we don't start until February 2023. So we're just really trying to put all the pieces in place and build it the right way to make it sustainable and not just, hey, let's put this out there, just try to get some players out there and go from there. And then we've built a lot of relationships where with the NFL, you know, we had an announcement about a month ago now, man, it's been a while, where we're doing a lot of initiatives partnering with the NFL on sort of being a developmental league with them with health and safety and rules and officiating international player development. So just having them in our corner and with us is just, you know, that's a game changer for us. And we have a partnership with the NFL Alumni Academy as well. So just as far as the way that we're building the foundation and the relationships of, okay, we're going to do things right on our end. We're going to try to get the best available players for the NFL, hopefully make it some sort of, and we're playing in the off season of the NFL and have it where, okay, we are a developmental league where you play with us, get better in game situations, as I mentioned before, and then possibly go back and forth. So I think it's just being set up the right way. We got great football people in it involved, not just myself, but some others. So a lot of energy, a lot of passion from top to bottom.
You know, the NFL has always just drafted guys out of college. Maybe you find a guy that comes over from, you know, from the CFL at some point and has a nice NFL career, but certainly that's more the exceptions rather than the norm. Do we need a developmental league for the NFL?
Yeah, well, the NFL is the only league without a development league. Every other MLB, hockey, basketball, everyone else has that step in between. The NFL is just, okay, here's college, and then go do it. So, yeah, I for sure, we need it, and we've had a lot of feedback and discussions with that around the league. Like, yeah, this is great, man. This is what you guys are doing. We need it. And coaches want to coach guys, and coaches feel like they can develop players, and this is the perfect opportunity to do that in the XFL. So there's a lot of excitement around that concept of, yes, there is that step in between. And, you know, not everyone's going to just be a star through development, but at least there's another place for these guys that if they don't make it, that there is that opportunity to possibly do it.
Have you watched any of the USFL?
I have not. I have to be honest, I have not watched it. But we have a team of guys, our production guy watches it and kind of updates us, but no, I have not watched it.
Any thoughts on the success that it seems like they have had from a television standpoint? What are the expectations for the USFL in terms of television? Because we all know the NFL, that's the 800-pound gorilla in the room when it comes to television rights deals. We've seen that this year. What are the expectations in terms of the XFL?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you saw, but yesterday we just signed a huge deal with the Disney platform, ESPN, ABC, Disney Plus. So just yesterday they had an unbelievable, or was it 2 days ago now? The days are blending in together, but a huge deal that we signed a multi-year contract where they'll be broadcasting all of our games on their different platforms. So, I mean, that was big, big time for us to have that partnership and sign a deal with Disney and ESPN, obviously because of Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. He had the previous relationship with Disney doing some movies with them. So it was just a natural fit. So yeah, we have them in our corner. Again, another strong partnership relationship that they will have. They will be airing all of our games.
Mark Ross, he's an analyst for the NFL Network. He's the executive VP of football operations for the XFL that gets started next year. Mark, appreciate the time. I hope we get a chance to do this again as we go through the summer.
Oh, sure thing. My pleasure.
Hang on, we got more. We'll get to our NFL notebook when we come back. We'll get to that when we return. Chris Goforth with you on a Saturday, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 Game. Let's go forth with you on this Saturday afternoon. Final go around here for us. Ready to wrap things up. Time for us to go off the rails here for a minute. We'll move away from the world of sports, kind of, sort of. Talk about a few other things going on, including Garrett. I don't know if you got a chance to see this this week, but there is a guy. His name is Don Gorski. And Don is in the official Guinness Book of World Record for the most McDonald's Big Macs eaten. The last time he was certified, it was back in 2016, and the number stood at 28,788 total Big Macs. As recently as August of last year, Gorski had reportedly consumed a whopping 32,340 Big Macs. He is celebrating 50 straight years of eating a Big Mac every single day of his life. There are just 8 days over the last 50 years where he did not have a Big Mac.
So when does McDonald's send him a gift basket or something, right? He's going to get a fruit basket or something, right? Well, I guess he doesn't eat fruit. He eats a Big Mac every day, right?
He is insane. Let's see. He is 8 days short of 18,250 straight of eating a Big Mac.
I wouldn't want to be his plumber.
Oh my gosh.
He's probably kept a plumber in his town single-handedly in business, just by himself.
He said
that's
that
insanity.
He ordered three Big Macs the first time he ever had a Big Mac. He ordered three of them. He said he enjoyed it so much, he told himself, and this is a quote, "I'm going to probably eat these the rest of my life."
Well, hey, kudos to him for finding something that works, I guess, you know? That's probably one of the weirdest things I've ever heard. I don't know if I could eat. I eat one Big Mac and I feel it for a week. You know, like, I don't know if I could eat a Big Mac every day for a week, much less, like, what is it, how many years?
50.
50 years?
Ate his first Big Mac May the 17th, 1972. That was, to put this into perspective, that was 2 days after an assassination attempt on George Wallace.
Lord have mercy.
So, 50 years, and he has saved all of his receipts. That's how he has been able to be able to verify this, is he has saved all of... I don't know what's more remarkable, the fact that this guy has eaten a... Yeah, it is the fact that he's eaten a Big Mac every day, or almost every day for 50 years. But the fact that he saved all of his receipts.
Do they have a picture of this guy, actually?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, can you tweet out this picture? Just so, because I'm not wholly unconvinced that he doesn't weigh like 500 pounds or something.
Oh yeah, no, he doesn't. He looks like he's a fairly average size guy. But yeah, we will. That's Guinness incredible. World Records had this out, so we will. I'll retweet it here in just a second.
That might be one of the craziest things I've heard.
Is there any fast food you could eat every day?
No.
No, same here.
No.
Same Look, here.
All right, so I worked at Chick-fil-A when I was in high school and then early on in college, and I did eat Chick-fil-A damn near 5-6 days a week. So I still eat it now, but I couldn't. Even then, it's like I got kind of sick of it after like a summer. I would eat there for the summer, and then after that, I'd be like, "All right, I'm done. I can't do this for another extended period of time." But
so this is one of those things.
That's Chick-fil-A. That's like better food too than a Big Mac.
It's one of those things that I think you go through as a parent. Like my kids, when they were really young, like McDonald's was the place, right? A Happy Meal, that was the place. Now I don't know how much of that was them, and how much of that was. How much of that was me going, hey, this is quick, it's easy, we can zip in, we hit the drive-thru, we get the Happy Meal, we get on our way. But now, and it's been this way for probably the last, I am going to say the last 6-7 years, and both of mine are teenagers now, and it's probably been this way the last 6-7 years, where they legit, my youngest child, I could bring her up here right now. She is 13, going on 14. I could bring her up right now and say, Megan, what do you want for lunch? Daddy's about to finish. What do you want to do for lunch? And I guarantee you she would say, can we go to Chick-fil-A? That kid could eat there. Maybe I need to start saving the receipts.
Maybe it'll be in Guinness Book of World Records.
Maybe I could get her in the Guinness Book of World Records. But,
does she get the same thing every time? Or does she get like the tenders one day and the nuggets the next and then chicken sandwich?
It's a number one.
See, number one's a classic.
One
that's
with
a
Sprite.
That's an absolute staple. I mean, I'm more of a sucker for the spicy sandwich. Maybe a little Chick-fil-A sauce on there.
See, I gotta have something a little different. So I get a number one.
But you can have a staple. Like you have your staple.
And it's probably a number one for me.
Okay.
Probably a number one for me. But sometimes I gotta try something a little different.
Yeah.
And I'll have the nuggets. Sometimes, believe it or not, I get a salad. And I'll tell you what's surprisingly good. I don't know how we got off on Chick-fil-A, but you know what is surprisingly
it's delicious,
good
that's
at
why.
Chick-fil-A is the fruit bowl.
The fruit bowl is very good. It's always consistent, too. So yeah. it's there are some places, if you go have a salad or a fruit bowl, especially fast food places, and you go in and you have it, and it's like, this one is like this is a beat-up apple, you know, or it's like kind of a, this mango is a little sour. Or whatever, not mango.
Or the salad lettuce is brown.
Or it's browned lettuce, and it's not very good. But here, you mentioned that you'll get nuggets occasionally. I know we'll get back to not Chick-fil-A topic here in just a second. But one thing that I did learn when I worked at Chick-fil-A was if you really want to try something a little off the beaten path, get a 12 count of nugget or any kind of nugget, put it into the 12 count grilled container, which is just like a little, it's like Tupperware almost. Get a packet of buffalo sauce and then a packet of honey. Throw it in there, mix it up, just shake it on up. It's honey barbecue wings. It's buffalo.
Really?
It's a little buffalo in there. It is good. It is.
Wow.
I am telling you, go try that for just go get an 8 count or something, maybe a 6 count. Just give it a try, a little snack. I'm telling you, pop it in with a fork. Oh, it is good. Dip it in ranch. It is like one of those off the beaten path you would never expect it, but it is good every single time, and it hits
very
so
nice.
Well, so
very
good,
nice.
So good. You can go healthy with a grilled option too. I'm a spokesman for Chick-fil-A. I will. I'll pound my chest for Chick-fil-A.
I can tell this. I can tell this. So the PGA Championship is going on. It's been played at Southern Hills, which was also the site of the 2007 PGA Championship. Which was one of the hottest major championships of all time back in 2007. The temperature got up over 100. And somebody was asking Tiger Woods this week about what he remembered about that 2007 championship. And he said that it was 107 degrees that day. Tiger asked John Daly how many waters he drank. Daly told him that he didn't have any water, but he drank about 12 Diet Cokes. Actually, the number is 13. John Daly drank 13 Diet Cokes that day, playing golf in 107-degree heat. Are you a soda guy?
I used to be. Not really anymore. Nowadays, I'll have a soda maybe if I go to have fast food. Like, I go to Chick-fil-A, I'll have a Dr. Pepper. You know, like if I go to McDonald's, I'll have a Dr. Pepper, maybe a Sprite. Depends. But for the most part, no, not really.
Yeah, see, I used to be.
Yeah, I used to drink a ton of soft drinks.
Yeah.
Like, it was, especially when I was, like, middle school, high school. And then I kind of got to, like, the latter parts of high school and then college, and I don't know, I found beer.
Well.
that's kind of removed soft drinks, for better or for worse, I guess. But
at your height, how many do you think you drank in a day?
Oh, sodas?
Yeah.
Oh.
When you were at your peak soda consumption.
I've probably done 10 to 13, 10 to 15 in a day. Really? I've definitely done that before.
I don't know that I've ever done that many.
It's a lot.
I'm pretty sure that I was somewhere between 6 to 8 a day, though.
That's a lot. That's still a lot.
That is a lot, yeah.
So who won that round in 2007? I think Tiger won that in 2007, didn't he?
Yeah, he probably did.
I'm gonna look up. I'm gonna check it out. See how Daly did.
John Daly out there chugging 13 Diet Cokes, smoking a cigarette, eating M&Ms.
He's different.
107-degree.
He's cut so different. I mean, that man. They did the story. There was an interview with Tiger Woods a couple years ago, and it was. I think it was Daly in a podcast or something, but Daly was out. He was just sitting at the bar with a couple of the other golfers, and he was just drinking, hanging out, probably drinking a little too heavily. And Tiger, like, shows up, he goes, lifts weights. And then he goes and he hits 1,000 golf balls. And then he comes back and he does, like, a cardio session. And in that time, like, Daly was, like, inviting him every time he would walk past John Daly. And Daly was like, ah, come on, have a beer with us. I mean, come on, whatever. And Tiger was like, no, I got to go do this. And Tiger was, like, laser focused, all about his work. And then the next day, John Daly wakes up. I think he was matched with Tiger. And actually outshoots him. Like, I think he shoots, I don't know what he shoots, like a 67, and then Tiger shot like a 70 or something. And Tiger's like, I think I'll go have that drink now. Because Daly's just different, man. He's just different. I don't know how he does it.
You wonder what that guy could have been had he taken better care of himself.
Well, actually, I found it. 2007, John Daly shot 6 over par. Oof. Tiger Woods won the PGA Championship 8 Oof. Under par. So take that with a grain of salt. Maybe the sodas were not the deal that day.
Yeah, 14 off the lead. That's not good for John Daly. Real quick, by the way, Atlanta United playing in Nashville tonight. Mike Conti on Twitter, you can find him at MikeConti929, says that weather could be a major issue for tonight's Atlanta United match in Nashville. Thunderstorms are expected before and during the match. He says it could be a long night. It looks like he posted a radar of it. It looks like the tail end of the storms will be this storm system will be moving through the Nashville area. So maybe it moves north and United doesn't have issues tonight, but just FYI, there'd be something to keep an eye out on. Don't forget, you can catch it here. 7 o'clock with the pregame, Mike and Jason, 7:30 with the kickoff. All right, final thing for us today here on Going Off the Rails as we wrap it up. I'm going to end it with this, Garrett. Do not think that you need to buy any type of Tom Brady memorabilia. Remember when Tom Brady retired and they auctioned off the football that was his supposed to be his last touchdown pass? You know, it sold for buku bucks. And then the guy that bought it, like, what, 24, 48 hours later, Tom Brady says, nah, I'm coming back.
Well, he did get his money back.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did get his money back. So there was it was like $396,000 or something. Yeah. It was some gaudy amount of money. But no, he did get his money back. Don't worry.
Well, let me tell you, beware when it comes to buying Tom Brady stuff, because there was what was supposed to be one-of-a-kind Tom Brady football card up for auction, sells for $396,000. Come to find out, it's not a one of one. It's actually a one of two. It is a 2000 Fleer Showcase Masterpiece Tom Brady rookie, graded at an 8.5, which is near mint to mint by the Beckett Grading Service. If you guys, any of you guys are into that, you know, you send your card off, they grade it and slab it and send it back to you. There is also one that was graded by the company PSA as well. So Fleer has confirmed that card manufacturers printed multiple one-of-one cards while working on production. The duplicate cards were not meant to leave the factory they were made in, but clearly some did. So this one-of-one card that went to this anonymous person is not exactly, after they paid $396,000 for it, they find out that it is not a actual one of one, that there's actually two of them out there. So, again, buyer beware when it comes to buying Tom Brady stuff at an auction, because this is twice people have overpaid for it. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Hey, thanks to Peter Moylan, former Brave, currently with Bally Sports, for hanging out with us for a little while today. Appreciate having him on. Also, thanks to Mark Ross from the NFL Network for coming and talking a little Falcons football with us. Thanks to you guys for being with us today, whether you've been here full few minutes or you've been with us the full 4 hours. We appreciate having you along today. It's been fun. Let's see. Stick around. You've got Chris Thomas, Bo Morgan. Those guys are coming up next. I'll be back with you later on in the week. I think Tuesday night I'm going to be filling in for John Chuckery for a couple of nights this week. So stick around for that. Garrett, appreciate your help, my friend, as always.
That's always a pleasure. Always fun. I'm looking. You're off next weekend, right? You said
I am off next weekend. I'm working a couple of shows for Chuckery, so okay. I can take next weekend off. But I'll be
Fair
back
enough.
Early June, and we'll get back to it, man.
We'll be back around. We'll be back around. Yeah, we'll have the College Football Game Time podcast here starting up soon.
Looking forward to it. All right, it's going to wrap it up for us. Stick around. Live and local from the Kia Studios. You know we do it all day here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.